ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. So the specific question that was asked by our gracious host, how to balance material and spiritual life, correct? This is a very easy question. First, one has to become convinced that one needs to have a spiritual life. That is why the Bhagavad Gita begins with Krishna explaining that there is a difference between. So first, one has to become convinced that not that I have a soul, that I am a soul who is inhabiting a material vehicle or a material body. One has to get the priorities set straight in the first place. Most people are not convinced that they have a soul or are a soul. Most people think, I'm simply American or Indian or a man or a woman, and therefore all I have to do is take care of my material life. So the first order of business is to become convinced, wait a second, I am soul and I have a spiritual obligation. And just like with your material life, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, you have a serious condition, you now need to change your lifestyle, otherwise you're going to die. So one takes the instruction of the doctor and says, oh, wait a second. Something has to change here. I have to change my diet. I have to change my lifestyle. I must now start to live a more healthy life. So one takes that instruction seriously, and depending on how serious the disease, you may have to make lots of changes in your so-called schedule because you have no more choice. It's either do these things or have a heart attack. So in the same way, once one is convinced that I am soul, that very acceptance immediately changes everything. And therefore, I start to make spiritual life my priority. So that's all that's required. Becoming convinced that I am soul and I have to cultivate my spiritual life. Otherwise, I'm going to miss the proper opportunity. So that's why reading the Bhagavad Gita every day is very, very important, because that Bhagavad Gita is going to convince you that your priority has to be spiritual life. Once that's understood, the balance automatically will happen because you have your priorities straight. Say, for instance, you rack up a big debt. So at some point, you sit down and you realize, okay, this is out of control. Your debts are out of, your credit cards are out of control. So you do what you have to do, you make a plan, and you start to get your finances in order, right? So in the same way, once you understand that your eternal spirit soul, you get your spiritual life in order. But the problem is being convinced that you're soul. That's the difficulty. Once you're convinced, everything automatically falls into place. Just like when you're not married, you live a certain way. Once you're married, it's a whole different ball game. You have to learn how to adjust living with somebody else. You have to adjust. You have to compromise. And then what to speak of when you have children. That's a whole nother dimension. As soon as you have a child, now you have to think differently. Woo. I can't do what I used to do because whatever I do now, the child is going to see what I'm doing and is going to learn from me. I may have been a certain way before we had a child, but now that I have a child, do I want my child to smoke and drink? And supposing somebody uses very bad language, if they don't change that, before they know it, their five-year-old kid is using four-letter words. And the same way, watching television. You may watch certain programs, but now that you have a child, you may not be able to watch the same shows. So everything begins with getting your priorities straight. And by accepting that I am spirit soul and being fully convinced of that, then everything else will fall into place. You are all intelligent people. You're not waiting till you 55 to think about your retirement, are you? Are you waiting till you're 55? No. Aren't you right now thinking about making plans for your retirement? I'm talking to the people who are talking. Yes. You are making plans now for your retirement, yes? You're not going to wait till you're 50. Right? That's not intelligent, right? Or you're not going to wait till your child is 18 and then think, oh, how are we going to send him to college? You didn't do that, right? Huh? Yes. You didn't wait till your child was 18 or 19. Oh, now how are we going to pay? No, you already had it figured out, correct? So in the same way, as soon as possible, actually according to Bhagavatam, from the age of 5, spiritual life should be emphasized. So it's simply a matter of being convinced what is the priorities of life. You have your material responsibilities. That has to be taken care of. But you also have your eternal soul, and that needs to be taken care of. And don't think, I'll worry about that when I'm 60. That's never going to happen. You have to be, starting at a young age, planning for your spiritual life. Because at the age of 60, if you have not done any spiritual practice, at the age of 60, it is going to be impossible. Because habits, long, many years of habits of simply sense gratification, that will make practicing spiritual life impossible. I once met an Indian man in Panama, 70 years old, and he confessed to me, Swamiji, I like to go to the clubs, I like to drink and watch dancing naked girls. I said to him, what about your spiritual life? He said, oh, when I get older. And he was 70. How much older you? That's called crazy. No, spiritual life has to start, as I said, Kaumara Acharet Pragyo. or at least from the time one actually hears. So that's my job. My job is to convince you that you do have a spiritual life and you have to make it a priority. That's my job. That's why you invite me once a year, to get everything back in proper perspective. Please do not neglect your spiritual life. Become convinced by reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ved, are you satisfied? Everything has to have a beginning. So the beginning is hearing. They have to hear about spiritual subject matters. So just like you were saying, you tune into that Mayapur TV. That means you're hearing spiritual subject matter. So either you read the Bhagavad Gita or you find a spiritual channel. It all begins by daily hearing. You begin by hearing. And little by hearing, hearing will turn into chanting. So every day read Bhagavad Gita and every day chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even if it's just a little bit, like myself, I don't have a problem with my spiritual life. I spend hours every day on my spiritual life. So I don't have that problem. But I do have a problem with my material life. What is that? Health. So I have to now add some material health regimen so that I can live to be 108. Right? So what do I do every day now? Walking. I've decided to make a priority. I already have my spiritual side down. But now I have to make this walking. Every day I have to do this so that I can improve my health condition. So most people, it's the other way around. Their material life is good, but their spiritual life is very minimal, and for most people, non-existent. So read Bhagavad Gita, hear spiritual subject matters, and as much as possible, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I'm just doing a 20-minute walk every day. Something is better than nothing. So even if they just spend 10 minutes chanting or 10 minutes reading Bhagavad Gita, the main thing, as in the walking, every day. So in the same way, every day, reading, spending a few minutes every day reading Bhagavad Gita, a few minutes every day chanting the Maha Mantra. Just begin a little bit. And my wife was telling me, if I do this walk every day, gradually it will increase. But the trick is every day. So the same way, hearing and chanting a little bit every day. Nobody should have an excuse for that. That just means turning off the television and the computer for a half an hour out of the day. Or the phone. Yes. You have to spend Just like one of the big things I've been preaching lately, quality time. You want to have quality time with your family. So you should have quality time with Krishna. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes every day, that is your beginning. And by doing that every day, just that little bit, gradually you'll get to the healthy state.
I have a comment on that.
Please comment.
Okay, I was just reading the other day Bhagavad Gita, and Arjun was asking the same kind of question to Krishna, and he said, it's the desire. If you in your heart don't have desire for God or spiritual knowledge or anything, and you won't even take that first step of hearing.
Mm-hmm, that's what he said.
He does not interfere with your free will. He does not make you. You have to indicate.
So who is you?
The soul, the person.
Soul is the part of God.
Yes.
And part of the God has to have that desire.
Yes, not God, you, the soul. God is an individual person and you are an individual person. God does not interfere with your free will. He does not. Ravana would force himself on women. God does not force himself.
Okay, so how
the soul is going to do it? By hearing from somebody who is able to convince you. That's the only way. That's why I do what I do. That's my function in life. Convince people that this should be your priority. It's up to them to accept or reject. Some people were not listening today. Okay? They tuned me out. All right? They wasted their time. But those who heard, they benefited. That's the idea. My function, I make it available. If I have any purity, I'm able to touch. If not me, somebody else. By hearing, look, how did I become who I am? It was only because somehow or other Prabhupada's message convinced me. I was mentioning that at the beginning. That's the job of the sadhu. The sadhu's job is to act in such a way that he's able to convince and touch a person's heart. For some people, it may take long time before somebody's able to touch. For me, I was fortunate. I heard, I saw Srila Prabhupada, he touched me. So I travel all over the world. Some people I'm able to touch. I can't touch everybody. I'm not that powerful. I can only touch certain people. They have to be touched. No, it's a mistake to think, because I've heard this argument. I remember one time at Ram Singhania's house. After the program, one elderly Indian man was telling me, Prabhuji, when God makes me, then I will do. And I tried to explain to him, no, God doesn't make. He goes, no, no, no. When God wants me, then no. That's not the understanding. God does not interfere with your free will. He lets everything available, then you have to choose who to hear from and who you are going to allow to influence you. So that's why it's important to hear from very pure, powerful spiritual personalities who are able to convince. For me, it was Srila Prabhupada. And I still listen. On the way here in my car, I spent a good hour hearing Prabhupada's chanting. That's why I was able to do this fantastic program. So, you have to hear. That all begins from hearing. Some people, when they're driving in the car, who are they listening to on the radio? They're listening to somebody. Talk shows. Everybody. And they're being convinced. Either it's this guy or that guy. But the best thing is to hear from spiritual authority, pure spiritual personalities. Then you'll be convinced. Okay, same way. Do you just go to any doctor? Or do you choose the best doctor? Right. Now, if you're going to go to a doctor, and after he says, you need to do this, you go, eh. Then why did you go to the doctor? Why did you waste your money if you're not going to do what he says? I'm a spiritual doctor. You call me every year. I'm going to give you spiritual medicine. But then if afterwards you say, eh, what does he know? He's an American. He's not even a Hindu. Then you wasted. What can I do? So it's up to the person to take the spiritual message. I can't force anybody. All I can do is present it, and then it's up to the listener to either accept or reject. Some accept, some reject. I can't be attached. But if this goes on for the next 50 years, maybe I'll be able to convince somebody that their spiritual life is priority. But it's not this philosophy of, oh, it will happen when it happens. That's not, no. That's the same philosophy. People misunderstand destiny and fate. There is destiny and fate. But on this topic, on this point, no. We even have an expression in the English language. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So sometimes, okay, I'll give you a good example from the Mahabharata. Kunti approached her son Karna and begged him, please join the side of your brothers. This was the first time Karna learned that he was actually Kunti's first son. But my favorite episode in the Mahabharata is when Krishna takes Karna alone on his chariot. And Krishna talks to Karna and says, Karna, you should do what your mother says. You should accept your brothers, and they will make you their leader. Krishna said, you can become, all the Pandavas will accept you as their leader, and I also, Krishna said, I also will follow you. Imagine that. If Krishna came to you and said, Ved, tomorrow I will follow you. Would you accept? Of course. But Karna did not. And then Krishna, this is the best part. Krishna told Karna, not only will I follow you, in due course of time, Draupadi will approach you like a wife approaches a husband. And he still wouldn't accept. To me, Karna is the biggest fool that ever lived. Krishna was telling him, You'll be the head of the Pandavas. I will follow you, and Draupadi will accept you as a wife. But Karna thought he was more pious. Karna said, no, I owe my allegiance to Duryodhana. How can I leave Duryodhana? That meant Karna did not understand. That meant Karna was less intelligent. He would rather follow Duryodhana than Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I'll follow Krishna. I'm not going to follow Duryodhana. Because we all know what happened to Duryodhana after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So bad association. His association with Duryodhana corrupted his mentality. That's why we should associate with good people. Any of us, doesn't matter who, any of us, if we associate with bad people, we will become bad. And if you associate with good people, you'll become good. Yes, Maharaj? Yes, he was thinking like that, but his calculations were wrong because he was killed by Arjuna, and Duryodhana also died not just with a broken spine, a broken heart. He lost everything. Yes, he miscalculated. So, association is everything. That's why we're very protective. How old is this boy? 9. Are you going to let him associate with criminals? No. Just like when I preach in Santiago, Chile, all the Indian families, they're very worried about their children because they see how the local Chileans raise their children, and they don't want the Hindu children learning all the bad habits of the Chilean children. What's that? What's he saying?
He promised the real one that, I'll be on
board. So that's my point. That's my point. Yes, but he thought, Karna was thinking, I'm more moral than Krishna.
The same thing happened.
That's right. And what happened to Bhishma? Thank you.
Isn't that also
No.
Yeah.
That's why Krishna says,
God versus.
That's why Krishna says, surrender to me and I will save you from all sinful reactions. So even if Karna was thinking this is immoral, Krishna was saying, don't worry, I will protect you. But he didn't have that faith in Krishna. Yes. Yes. Actually, in the case of Bhishma actually wanted to fight against Krishna. That was his desire. But he wanted to fight against, he wanted to see Krishna as a fighter. If Arjuna just saw the back of Krishna, Bhishma got to see angry fighting Krishna. That was his desire. So association is everything. Yes, but it's better. Yes, being killed by God is a blessing, but there's a better way, and that is dying by loving God. Was that?
Yeah.
Yes. Very good.
Isn't it interesting, even Yudhishthira Maharaj, before I heard from devotees, I used, they say that Yudhishthira always spoke truth, never lied, but still he had to go to hell for a short time. The reason is Ashwatthama, when he got killed, Krishna said that, say that Ashwatthama killed. He said, no, I never lied.
He said, elephant.
So he said, Ashwatthama, elephant name, they killed him, then he said it. Again, he said the complete thing, but Krishna didn't let other people hear the elephant part. Yeah. They just heard the name Ashwatthama. So that's the way it happened. So I was thinking that he went to hell there because he lied there. But the devotee was explaining that the reason he has to go there because Krishna says, do this. He thought, I am better than Krishna. I have to follow my...
God himself telling him,
yeah,
to do it. And he said, no, I should not lie.
So he hesitated, yeah. Yes.
He hesitated.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the reason.
Totally different approach, you know.
Yeah, very good.
So, all us parents and ourselves, we must be very careful who we associate with. Because who we associate with is going to affect our thinking, feeling, and willing. If we stay in good association, we'll act properly. But if we let bad things influence, it's just a matter of time. I have personal example of this. Personal life examples. All right? Throughout my life, before becoming a devotee of Krishna, I had some good association. I had very, very bad association. And when I had bad association, I also became bad. But now I stay in the association of good people. Wherever I go in the world, who do I associate with? Devotees.
And even the younger people, sometimes they think, oh, I'm good. My friends are bad, but I'm always good. But if you are in their company, suppose if they do something wrong, they're not going to see who did it wrong. All of them were there, all laughing. Come
in. Yeah, it happens in a moment. If you are in bad company, you get excited. Oh, maybe we can do this and
show. Yeah, like right now in Florida, the college students are on spring break.
I heard from them.
And they're all acting like demons. And it's on TV. I can't even mention what they're doing. And they think, ha, 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 ha. But there have been so many arrests. So association is everything. Yes, Maharaj.
Out of five friends, two are good.
So you stick with the two, reject the rest. Anyway, as far as you're concerned, just listen to your parents. That's what I tell all the kids all over the world. I told them in Australia, Buenos Aires, Santiago. Wherever I go, I tell all the kids, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Okay?
This mom? He's truthful.
Jai. The reason we don't think about it is because the way this material world is designed, you don't get a chance to hear about it. Where on the television are they talking about this kind of subject matter? You have to go to a specific spiritual channel. You have to either stumble upon it or look for it. Yeah, everything begins by hearing. Everything comes from hearing. So you have to decide, what am I going to hear? Am I going to hear how to become more and more materialistic? At what point am I going to start hearing about the soul? You have to... Anyway, I said it. As far as your karma previous, your fate, you can get some kind of idea based on the kind of desires you have right now and what kind of life you were born into and what kind of situation you grew up in. Those things were all determined from your last life. So everybody has a certain life that they were born into, and everybody has a certain stock of desires that are driving them. Okay, prominent desires. So that gives you some idea of your previous karma. But now, because you're a human being, you do have some amount of free will. You can make a choice. Even though you may have a destiny, or you may have a strong desire, you still have a choice whether or not to act on it or change that desire. You always have that free will. So I'll just talk about myself, because it's easier for me. So I grew up in a meat-eating family. So that means in my previous life, I had that desire. So it was being fulfilled. But at the same time, my family was very religious. So that tells me I was also had religious desires. Okay? So it's a complex thing. All right? Then what was my main overwhelming desire? I wanted to do music ever since I can remember. And I wanted to find my soulmate. From the age of 7, this was what I wanted from life. I wanted to find my soulmate and I wanted to do music. So for the first 23 years, that was driving me. All my decisions, whatever decisions I was able to make, was all based on finding my soulmate and pursuing music. For the first 23 years, total frustration. No happiness. I tried. No success. I stumble upon Krishna consciousness. I decided I'm going to give up those desires. I'm going to give up looking for a soulmate. I'm going to give up pursuing a musical career. I decided I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to Krishna and serving my spiritual master. That's not destiny. That was a decision I made. Because my fate was, I wanted to be Elvis Presley. I wanted to be like I explained. But I chose, no, I'm no longer going to pursue that. I'm going to dedicate myself to this. And within time, I found my soulmate, and I still get to do music. So my desires were filled, even though I gave them up. Krishna fulfilled my desires without my seeking them. So you have free will at every moment. At any moment, you have the ability to change the course you're taking. Does that help you at all? Yes, but you have a part to play. You have a part to play. You will be given options. Obviously, you're only going to live a certain amount of years. That's your destiny. You have a certain physical body. You can't change that. Except if you do some weird medical. But generally speaking, you can't, you know, I have this kind of body. All right? So certain things in your destiny are fixed. But a big portion of it is under your control. You can change it. That's the whole idea of spiritual life. In other words, materially speaking, you cannot change your destiny. But by spiritual means, you can. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this material energy is insurmountable. So one way to answer your question is, materially, you cannot change your destiny. But there's an override. And that is spiritual life, surrender to Krishna. If you surrender to Krishna, you're able to override the destiny. That's why Krishna says, surrender to me, I will deliver you, I will protect you. Or in the other verse, you can overcome the stringent laws of material nature by surrendering to me. So by chanting, by hearing, worshiping, all the different items of spiritual life, you can change your destiny. Apart from that, no, you cannot change your destiny. Otherwise, if I know for a fact, if I hadn't taken up this life, I would have died by the age of 30, 35. The route I was going on, I would have been dead, for sure. Either by a drug overdose or being murdered by somebody's husband. The way I was going, my destiny was very clear. It was not going to be a good outcome. But because I surrendered to Krishna, everything changed. So, you want to change your destiny? Surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, yeah, it's set. But you want to override? Surrender to Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Is that all right? But I am also saying, say you have a bad destiny. You can change it by surrendering to Krishna. As I was saying, the destiny I was on was definitely on the path towards destruction. I know it. I was doing so much bad things. I would not have lived much longer. I would have been killed either by my own device or by somebody else because I was on a demoniac destiny. But I surrendered to Krishna, and here I am. So your destiny can change if you surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, why read Bhagavad Gita? You're wasting your time, because it would mean, sorry, nothing you can do. No, the whole Bhagavad Gita is hopeful. If you do this, you can transcend. You, as I keep saying, override your destiny. Yes, you learn to accept, but more than that, you can change it. That requires faith.
Yeah, that's where the karma really plays a role. You are not only accepting it, you are doing your karmas to make it better toward your goal.
So there's material karma and spiritual karma. Karma meaning by your actions, by your work. Materially, you cannot change your destiny. No material thing can change it. Only spiritual activities, surrendering to Krishna, can change your destiny. But who will believe that? Who will accept that? You have to find somebody that you can place your faith in, your guru, and by your guru's grace, you have faith in Guru and Krishna. All right?
Yes,
Batukji.